Psalm 139, beginning to read at verse 1. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I hesitate to speak about Psalm 139 because so many of us love it so dearly, know it so well. But I just want to share a few thoughts this morning from this passage that's so precious to so many of us. There's a very useful skill that our brains have developed that sometimes seems to be in evidence and other times we struggle a little bit with. But this is an ability to select what to pay attention to and to kind of push everything else into the background. I remember working with a group to make a video recording once. We met together in a room to do some work with the camera and the equipment. And we were very disciplined in this process. We made sure that only one voice was speaking at any one time. We made sure that nobody moved around unnecessarily. We took real care to make sure that the quality of the picture and the sound was just right. And then we played the recording back. And we discovered to our astonishment that a convoy of lorries had gone by outside. And you could hardly hear anything. Because our hearing had screened out all that background and focused on what it was that was important to us. Unfortunately, the video recorder had not been quite so discriminating and had captured everything. And I'm told that some people with hearing difficulties lose that ability. And so that capacity to somehow, in a crowded room, focus on one person and hear what they say and screen out the background is something that gets lost sometimes. And everything gets jumbled up together. Some of you will be able to tell me whether that's right or not. I'm seeing some nods. And sometimes it seems that the experiences of life pull things forward from the background into the foreground of our awareness. Things that in the ordinary way we would do automatically without the need to think about them. Those things are brought to our attention. I had a lovely meal on Wednesday and great enthusiasm about the chocolate sauce sponge pudding after the main course. We had a guest. We're allowed pudding when we have guests. And this chocolate sauce in the microwave was superheated, and I can still feel where I tasted it. And it burnt my tongue. You've no idea how often you use your thumb until you bang it. No awareness of how frequently those muscles in the back get used until you pull them. No idea how often you laugh until you get a tickle in the throat. Know what I mean? Those moments of suddenly bringing it forward, the experience which is unthought, unconscious, everyday background activities are brought forward and the background becomes foreground. And in Psalm 139 and verse 2, the psalmist is writing about a pair of actions that for many people are unthinking everyday actions. Sitting down and standing up. And for that, I guess, healthy young poet who wrote these words all those years ago, sitting and standing would be natural, unthinking actions that occur all the time. Not so for my mother. She went to the doctor recently and had a conversation about joint pain. And the doctor had her stand up, and the doctor felt her hips. Does it hurt here? No. Does it hurt here? Now, my mother is normally a courteous and polite person. But her reaction told the doctor everything she needed to know. And mother's booked in for some injections. Every time she stands up and sits down, she knows about it. The unthinking, everyday, ordinary actions are brought forward into the foreground of our consciousness, and we find ourselves paying attention to them. And just as the wounds and failings of our bodies can bring those unconscious background things into the foreground of our attention, so we can do that sometimes on purpose. I well remember a few days back in 1974. At that time, I lived alone in a sort of legal squat just behind the Rainbow Theatre in Finsbury Park in Islington, just down the road, as it happens, from Tollington Park, where Sandy Miller ministers. Sandy, who was on our house party. For 3 or 4 days that spring, I carried Psalm 139 and verse 2 around with me. Lord, thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising, is what I carried. Thou art acquainted with all my ways. Every time I stood up, I remembered, God knows that. Every time I sat down, God is aware of this. I noticed those everyday moments. As a reasonably healthy young teenager, I had no idea until I set myself this challenge just how many times in a day I stood and sat. This experience, this deliberate, focused effort, brought the sitting and standing from the background to the foreground of my mind. I became acutely aware, mindful of these ordinary everyday actions. I could say at the end of these 3 or 4 days, I know when I sit and when I stand. But of course, that is only half the truth of this verse. It doesn't actually say, I know when I sit and when I stand. It says, God knows. Every time I sit, God is aware of it. Every time I stand, He knows what I'm doing and where I'm going. Without these reminders, the awareness of God's being with us can fall into the background of our awareness. We can get used to His constant presence. We can tune out and focus on other things. This morning, I want to remind you, God is with us. God is with us so much more than a kind of theoretical construct, just an idea, a kind of background belief, like knowing God made the world. It's the kind of awareness of God being with us which is personal and real and intimate. I wonder what had happened to the psalmist. Quite a lot must have happened since Psalm 88, which mirrors Psalm 139. So many of the things that the psalmist celebrates in 139 are because in Psalm 88, he's crying to God in the absence of those things, again and again and again. There is the mirroring. He felt that God was far away and abandoned him. But here in 139, this strong sense that God is with him. Faith had become real and personal and intimate. The eternal Father had become my daddy. The sovereign Lord became my friend. Instead of the theory of God, the psalmist experiences the closeness of God. Notice the emphasis put on this relationship right through this first third of the psalm that we read. Again and again and again, it's about his own experience. I'd like us just to read these verses together. Maggie, could you put up those slides? I'm going to say the words in black. And would you? Which way are we doing it? The door side, you folks, you get the I and the me. Okay? You just say those words when they come up. And this side, would you say the you and the your with me? Let's just see how often this comes up. So it goes like this. Let's say together, you have searched me, O Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in and behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. Hard to read like that, isn't it? But do you see the emphasis? Did you see how many times it comes up? This is about not God out there and up there, distant, and a theory, a truth we just believe passively. This is about the God of relationship, you and me, I and thou. God who knows us, who cares for us. The Anglican liturgy, of course, begins each service with those simple words, the Lord be with you. It's one of those reasons we come to church, giving some time, focusing on God, meeting with fellow believers, singing and praying and listening. It all helps us, doesn't it, to focus, to remember again that the God who is in the background of our lives is foreground too. He's in our conscious awareness. We ask the Holy Spirit to make us aware, to bring the background truth that he is God of the universe forward into our conscious awareness. He is with us personally, intimately, wonderfully. The Lord is with us. So how do we react? Such knowledge is too wonderful to me, writes the psalmist in verse 6. The psalmist tries to run away. Where can I flee from your presence? He tried running east, towards the morning, towards the future. He tried running west, towards the sea, towards the sunset, trying to recover the past. He tried to escape the reality of daily life by climbing up to the heavens. He tried to dig down into earthy, deadly places where there is nothing but futility and death. He tried to run away and hide. He wasn't the first to react that way, of course. Adam and Eve lived with the presence of God in a beautiful place and tried to hide from God. Jonah was given what I kind of thought about in preparation. Jonah had a kind of McCluffery mind. He was able to analyze the situation in the culture, and he knew what God was saying and what God was doing. Jonah had all this insight, this ability to analyze and understand, to make sense of his world, and he ran away from God. Even the disciples were the best of friends. Ran away when the going got tough. Right in the middle of those situations. So easy. Even though we know God is with us, it's too much, and we run away and hide. What makes you run? And where do you run? Where do you run to? East? To some fantasy future? West to some nostalgic past, up to some aesthetic beauty, down into some kind of sensuous death. Where do you run to? The writer of Psalm 139 realized the futility of running away. In that depression in Psalm 88, he felt abandoned by God in the place of the dead. He felt so far away from God that he could not be reached. But here is the reply in Psalm 139. Even there, you are there. Is there a place to hide where you foolishly think that you cannot be found? Where you're so far from God's love that he cannot touch you in that place? This is not about the truth of ideas. This is about the reality of feelings. Our logic tells us that God is everywhere. But for many of us, we've tried to make hiding places where we, like foolish children, believe that God cannot see us, cannot reach us. The psalmist tried to hide in the dark. I wonder what this darkness represents to you. I guess for some people, we look out into the world and we see a darkness of global warming and the destruction of the planet. Or we look out and we see the darkness of society at risk of collapsing into terrorism or nuclear madness. Or maybe for you it's much more personal and you fear a personal darkness. Sickness, pain, redundancy, bereavement, dementia, loneliness. The psalmist does not say here that God will drive the darkness away. The psalmist says something wonderful, that God can see through the darkness. The darkness does not blind God. It does not hamper him. He can do what he wants. The darkness does not quench his love. God has night vision. He can see through my gloom, my darkness, my misery, my sinfulness, my depression, my pain, my sorrow, my loneliness. His love can penetrate my darkness. There is nowhere to hide from the loving gaze of God. His light, he can penetrate whatever it is that we wrap around ourselves in that futility of hiding from him. God has night vision. The Lord be with you.